Hello and welcome into this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show on 104.3 The Fan HD3, denverpioneers.com. My name is Tyler Mon. We are pleased to be joined on this week's episode of the show by Denver women's lacrosse head coach Liza Kelly. Liza, it's so good to see you. It's always like a very good sign of spring when we do a coaches show because I feel like it means that we're actually getting to the point where we're going to have the most beautiful of lacrosse days. I would say Saturdays, but really all days of the week for you and your team. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. Somebody texted me before we opened last week and they said that we were the last Pioneer team of the entire school year to start playing. So
Wow.
it was a dubious distinction, but we're glad we got the ball rolling.
That is crazy. Well, you're getting set for your first home game of the season coming up on Thursday, February 19th against Towson. And we're going to talk about the kickoff of this 2026 campaign for Denver women's lacrosse as we dive in on this week's episode. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Denver Coaches Show as we run around the spring sports calendar. And the final team, evidently, into the pool for spring sports season is already 2-0 in this campaign by a combined score of 29-11 and wins over USC and Arizona State. Big start to the season for Denver women's lacrosse. Liza, let's just start, 30,000 foot view. What has been the thing you've been most impressed by, most pleased with your team so far?
I think that they've really been able to stay on track with their goals, and small goals as well as big goals. So every year we talk about winning a national championship, but I think that they're very aware of the day-to-day prep that goes into that, and not looking too big picture every day, but really seeing the small wins at practices and those tiny incremental improvements.
When you've got a season that starts like this, with not just the fact that you are on the road for your first couple games, you're on the road against two really big programs in USC and Arizona State, and seeing your team respond to that challenge the way they did, you put 15 goals on the board at SC, and then 14 on the board at Arizona State. Last season started a little slow. You had two really, really good opponents on the road to start last season as well. In those games, you combined for 13 goals, so you blew that out of the water in game number one. What has been the key to the offensive success so far?
I think it's a little bit more time under Taylor's tutelage. Last fall when she first got here, it was a little rough. She was playing box internationally and traveling a bit. And so I think having the full year of really understanding what her expectations are and then just building chemistry from there. I think when you're trying to build chemistry and learning an offense, that can be a little tough. So I just think that they really hit the ground running this fall and have continued to improve from there.
Well, one thing that we have to touch on right out of the gate is Olivia Ripple, who this season went into the 2026 campaign on the, award watch list or pretty much everything you can be in women's lacrosse, and already Big East Attacker of the Week. She picked up 8 goals through the first 2 games of the regular season. She's only a junior, which is incredible and probably terrifying for coaches across the country who don't get to have her on their roster. What makes her, now I asked you this question last year. I think I may have asked you this question her freshman year. When she's in a groove like this, what makes her so good, and what has the progression been like from when she came to campus to where she is right now?
Yeah, she came in and we kind of knew we had a diamond in the rough from California to begin with. So we had high expectations from her, and she's an incredible athlete. She really works hard on her game. Probably could be a middie, but we just felt like we really wanted her on the field the whole time. So I think that she kind of matriculated to the attacking end kind of midway through her freshman year, and then just really has stood out there for us this year. We're using her a little bit more on the draw circle. She will get in and get a couple defensive reps here or there, but just such a dominant player that she can feed, she can go 1v1, she really is can do it all down there.
When you have a player like that who is so talented and so much of the focus for defensive game plans is built around stopping a player like that, you've got a lot of other returning talent on your attack, and midfielders who facilitate and an offensive group that can benefit from somebody else being that successful because it sort of lifts all boats and making them successful. Tell me about, especially with your returning attack group, how they all kind of feed off of that energy, that level of excellence, and obviously the results have come along the first couple games.
Yeah, you know, somebody I'm really impressed with this fall or the spring, excuse me, is Ryan Dineen. Senior has played a lot of minutes for us, has taken on a bunch of different roles, but I think that she really balances Ripple on the left side of the field, and where I think probably Lauren Black felt, you know, filled that role last year.
Yeah.
So really cool to see somebody else kind of step in there and just grow their own game to that extent, to be able to say, okay, Ripple can do it over there, I can do it over here. And then I think we've got Even Thompson-Marr, who's really stepping up a lot, Caroline Bowers, and then Caroline Kyle, who had just a stellar game for us against Arizona State. And it's been cool just to see them evolve their games. Like that, you know, they had different roles last year, and they've really kind of stepped into this scoring paralysis that they needed to fill, quite frankly.
Tell me about getting newcomers mixed in and being able to, you know, you're not reliant necessarily on, all right, we got young players, we got to get them out there right away. They have to be able to contribute because you do have this really good veteran core, but some of the new faces who are going to contribute or are already contributing this season.
Yeah, so I think offensively, Carly Much and Kendra Harris have really kind of stepped in there. They are what we call runners in our game. So they're not quite middies, but kind of running attackers that come on off the field. Both are naturally left-handed players and just really have soft touches on the ball. And then defensively, Stella Lynch has started both games so far for us. Really, really athletic middie coming out of Florida. Reminds me of Sarah Pokorny from last year, just kind of really fast, good ball handler. And I think there's a lot of potential for her to kind of go far in our defensive end.
Let's talk about that defensive end because obviously so many of the headlines are going to be that you scored 29 goals in your first two games. You also limited your opponents to 11, four at SC, seven at Arizona State. And I know that there is a lot of veteran presence there as well. And also, thankfully, some players who are healthy and able to contribute to start this season, maybe in ways that in seasons past hasn't been a luxury.
Yeah, I think the coolest thing coming out of the weekend is the defense was ticked off that they gave up 7 goals against Arizona State. I was pretty happy that that was their feeling after that game. I think Landry Grover is somebody that really kind of comes to the top of the list. She just competes in every single moment. Is one of those kids that puts her body and soul on the line for every play, and you can't help kind of raise to her degree. Carly Frohnapple has stepped in and been kind of the backer in our zone for the past 3 years, and she's doing a great job. Ava Welty and Megan Klingenberg kind of anchor it down there as well. And so it's a very senior veteran core, and I think that senior class, their leadership is outstanding, but they really understand what it takes to win and how hard they have to work every day.
You know, you mentioned the senior class. This is the final group of your student athletes who are currently on the roster who made a Final Four, and they did that in their freshman year. And the success that you've had, that your program has had, so much of that, and this is a word that gets thrown around in sports and especially in college sports, that means something a lot different, I think, in this era of college sports. But the culture that you've built and the success that you've had, it's so important to have those veterans who know how to pass down the things that have made your program successful. What has this senior class meant, and how does that hunger of, you know, we experienced this freshman year, we want to get back to that stage of being deep in the NCAA tournament, making one of those runs, competing for a national championship, how does that fuel them this year?
Yeah, I think they have the confidence to put their dream out in the public and talk about it. But they also have the talent and the work ethic to show up every day to do it. They have taught the underclassmen that these are the expectations in and out of practice of how we act and how we do things. And I think they're willing to hold each other accountable when that bar does drop.
For a group that now already has the first two games under its belt and gets to come home, what is the advantage to starting on the road? I feel like you eliminate so many distractions. You know, early on in a season, you get a home opener, the energy is sort of different. The fans are showing up in a way where, especially if you're a young athlete, a freshman, or you're playing for the first time, you might be a little bit wide-eyed. To get a couple of road games under your belt against good programs, what does that do for just settling into the flow of a season? You're actually going to have three of your first four on the road because after this Thursday's game against Towson, you'll go on the road to Nashville and play Vanderbilt out there on Sunday. How does the early season road portion help settle your team in?
Yeah, I think it's a mentality of, you know, you're going to fly in May, so get used to it now. And I think that it's sort of We know we're road warriors. I think we embrace it. It home or away doesn't really make a difference to us. We understand what's at stake, and with the schedule we have, the expectation is that we know we got to really win out to put ourselves in position to do well in May.
Well, a lot coming up for this Pioneers team. We are going to step aside. We're going to talk about this schedule and talk about the big things that can be ahead for this Denver squad. But if you are tuned in on the night of our airing, which of course is Wednesday the 18th, if you're listening to us right now live on 104.3 The Fan, you can get your tickets for tomorrow's matchup against Towson. That is a noon start time at Peter Barton Lacrosse Stadium. So if you've got a flexible Thursday, head on over, catch the home season opener. And we are going to step aside, but back in just a moment to continue talking about the start to this 2026 campaign and more with the head coach of Denver Women's Lacrosse, Liza Kelly. More coming up after the break on 104.3 The Fan HD3.
Planning your financial future can be overwhelming and confusing. So let the experts at JFG Family Office help guide you to your financial goals. The team at JFG Family Office believes in increasing transparency, lowering fees, and striving to achieve better outcomes so you have peace of mind when it comes to all of your investing needs. Contact JFG Family Office at jfgfamilyoffice.com to get started on planning for your future.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Continuing along on 104.3 The Fan HD3 and DenverPioneers.com. It is the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show, and this week getting a chance to catch up with Pioneers head women's lacrosse coach Liza Kelly. My name is Tyler Mon. All right, Liza, an unorthodox-ish sort of home opener with that being a midday start, a noon start time for your team against Towson, but you get that first chance to go out at Barton and line it up on, you know, a good weather day and a way to start the season with already a couple of wins under your belts, going against a team that you haven't seen in a long time. Towson and Denver have not played in over 15 years, which is sort of crazy. But tell me about what excites you most for this home opener.
Yeah, I think there's something special about playing at PDB. The girls love it, being able to walk out of the locker room, see our fans, be in our white uniforms. The scoreboard, it's just special. I know the seniors are really excited for their intro video to get up on the big screen too. So, you know, we always have just passionate fans in the stands, and it's a fun place to play a lacrosse game.
That is always one of the highlights, by the way. Shout out to Shane Carney and Nick Martin for the work that they do for all the hype videos for teams taking the field. When you look at a first couple of games in which you fared so well and scored a lot, played well defensively, you said your defense was not as pleased with their performance against Arizona State. But from those first two games, it's a quick turnaround between those two because you play on Thursday and you play on Sunday. You'll do the same thing this week, but to digest what you liked at SC and at Arizona State and what you want to improve on tomorrow against Towson, what are the things that stand out in those categories?
Yeah, I loved our hot start. I thought in both games, we really came out strong in the first quarter. And I think that improvement then is just continue to step on the gas there. I think our draw controls were really good on Thursday, definitely not as strong on Sunday. So I think that's a really big area of improvement, is that as we're scoring goals, if we can limit our opponent's opportunities with the ball by coming up with that center draw, I think that's huge. And then 8 meters in the offensive end. I think we can capitalize a little bit more on those free position shots, but there was really a lot more to be proud of than to kind of consider a weakness at this point.
One thing that I want to ask you about as a head coach is the ability to start strong. Combined, you outscored your opponents 11-0 to start your first two games. You're up 5-0 at SC, 6-0 at Arizona State. And this is interesting because this goes across all sports. I just did a broadcast the other day in which a player said, you know, we talked about starting on time, being ready when the game got started. And so often, I know I've talked about this with Matt Brown and Bill Tierney on the men's side. I've talked about it with Dosha Woods in basketball. It's tough sometimes to find whatever it is in teams and college athletes that makes them know that the moment that opening whistle is blown, you got to be ready to go. So to have a team that has started strong, Where does that come from in terms of how it actually plays out on the field for them? Is that something that's student athlete led? Is it sort of a piece of just the mixture of personalities that players are ready to go right when a game gets started? Or throughout your coaching career, how have you found that to be?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that chip mentality on your shoulder of, you know, we got to come out and we got to prove and you got to step on next right from the get-go. And let a team not think they can breathe on your field or on their own field for that matter. So I definitely think it is a mentality. You can be the underdogs and do it. You can be the top dog and do it. You just, you know, you got to be that horse that's getting out of the gate first.
Well, one thing that we did not touch on when we were going sort of position by position, because I wanted to set up, you know, some time for you to be able to talk about her. But Lexi Guaco has been outstanding so far this season. And for Lexi, you know, stepping in as a freshman last year, played in 12 games, but this year has been really, really good to start for a young athlete in, you know, in a big time spot for a big time team. What has impressed you about the way that she has gotten this season started? Because it feels like just seeing some of, you know, for some highlights and reading about the start to the season, there's a lot of poise there, which for a young athlete, you know, I know she had a Big East Freshman of the Week award last season, but it can be overwhelming being in those big moments. She doesn't seem to really get rattled much.
No, she definitely does it. She's a pretty cool cat down there. And I think that the experiences that she had, I mean, she played in Stanford for both games, NCAA and regular season. She played against Maryland, played in the tournament championship. So she has gotten some significant minutes with some pressure situations very intentionally and handled it last year really, really well. So I think that her nerves were never in question. And she's somebody, she's incredibly hard on herself. You know, I think she was really irritated with those last three goals on Sunday against Arizona State. You know, she's one of those goalies that thinks she can save every ball. And you know, it's great because I think that the defense has that faith in her as well.
You mentioned a little bit ago talking about Taylor and her ability to work with the offense more and more over the offseason. This year, you've also got a new look in between the pipes, coaching staff-wise. Lauren Spence, your new goalie coach, and obviously success early on for Lexi. Tell us about Lauren's style, her work with your goalkeepers, and you know, just that forming that relationship, because that is such a highly personalized relationship. If you're coaching offense or defense, you're dealing with dozens of different athletes. When you're coaching goalies, it's so much more hyper specific. What has that been like transitioning to Lauren in that role?
Yeah, I think Lauren's been great. She's done a really good job with all three goalies, is kind of accepting them for their own styles and then really expanding upon that uniqueness rather than trying to kind of make them play like her. And so I think that the girls have been really receptive to that. And it's fun because, you know, for our shooters, we've got three different styles in net every time they kind of look up at the goal.
How much does that help them too? Because you go on the road or, you know, even for teams that you're familiar with, conference foes that are going to come in, they'll have new goaltenders in some circumstances. To get all of those different looks for your offense in practice seems like that would be a huge boon to, especially if you're facing an unfamiliar opponent with a goalie who maybe you haven't seen, who's got a style different than what you're expecting.
No, it's huge. I mean, we can throw in one of the other goalies and say, hey, this kid plays a little bit more like Chloe, or this one's
interesting,
a little bit more like Halsey. So that's cool. And then, you know, it raises the competition level of practice. You know, they get stuffed and they got to come back and figure out how to put that ball in the back of the net. And then the next time the goalie kind of antes up and figures out how to stop you. So it's there's some good trash talking going on.
Tell us about this schedule is really interesting because I noted, you know, three of your first four are on the road, five of your first seven overall are on the road, and you don't play back-to-back home games until mid-March. But you'll get two straight home games against Stetson and Charlotte on March 13th and 17th before you open conference play at home against UConn, and then you'll get Marquette. To have this early road-loaded schedule building you up to the biggest moments of the season, hopefully coming at home. What do you like about the way this season schedule stacks up?
You know, I do think it's pretty special to be on the road as a team. There's a lot of bonding that happens. You really can focus solely on kind of what you're doing. We got a great crew of parents and fans that travel all over the country with us. So there's a lot of family time there as well. And then some really great opponents. So I think that it does set us up. The back of our minds, though, we know that we're hosting the Big East Championship at, you know, the beginning of May too. So I think it's a good road to kind of to hopefully be home longer in May.
with a schedule that builds and builds until it gets to that point in the end of the regular season. And this year, the Big East Conference tournament will be in Denver. It always feels like there is this crescendo where you get to these later stages of the season and the games get bigger and they feel bigger. But there's something so special about being able to have those dates at Barton. Like when you think about, March 22nd against UConn, April 1st, you'll get Marquette. You get CU, it's a non-conference match. But you get CU for a midweek game, 6 o'clock in the evening, under the lights on April 15th, and then against Xavier a couple of days later. What about those moments as a head coach is coolest, knowing that you've got some really special things potentially brewing this season, and there's going to be a lot of really cool moments at Barton to come?
Yeah, I think that there have been some of those night games in particular against CU, against Stanford, that are just kind of etched in every player's memory. You have all the alums shouting in the stands, people just going crazy, pink Pio hats everywhere. It is an absolutely electric atmosphere. And I think it's something that as a player, you'll never have in the rest of your life, to just be able to walk around and have all these people literally cheering for you to run down the field. I mean, it's fantastic. And I think that Denver does such a good job of hosting that, I think the Big East championship will feel the exact same way.
All right, Liza, getting down to these final couple of minutes, but you've got this big stretch coming up right now. All of these games that really, like you said, prepare you for, you want to be on the road deep into May. So start practicing all these things now. You'll get this home game on Thursday against Towson, and then at Vanderbilt on Sunday, home the following Sunday against High Point, and then two games on the road at Stony Brook and Fairfield. So for this 5-game stretch coming up, where you got three away from home, before you get into those back-to-back home matchups, what are the biggest points of growth that you're looking for from this stand of the season? Because a lot of fans, I think, look at a team that's, outscored its opponents 29-11 and think, all right, well, you're obviously rolling, but there are so many things early on in a season that you want to be tackling, you want to be on top of. So what between now and, those games in mid-March, when you get to actually sleep in your own bed for a little while, what are the biggest points of growth that you want to see from your group?
Yeah, I think that it's growth in our depth would be the number one thing that I'm really looking for, is those younger players to get some key minutes, to gain some confidence, and then to really be able to kind of open their bag of tricks and see what they can do out there, while the veterans are able to kind of lead them and teach them the ropes. And I think that really will make both groups better. It'll take a little bit pressure off of our veterans at times when we're deep in the season and a little tired, but I think that's what really is going to be the big trigger for us to go further.
All kinds of big stuff coming up this season for Denver Pioneers women's lacrosse. Get your tickets now, denverpioneers.com. You can hang out on Thursday against Towson at noon, Sunday, March 1st. Also a noon start time for that one. If you are more of a weekend person, you can turn out for the Pios against High Point coming up on the 1st. Those two games sandwiched around that road day to Vanderbilt. The head coach of the Denver Pioneers is Liza Kelly. Liza, good luck coming up tomorrow night against Towson, and we'll be talking to you as the season progresses.
Thanks so much. Go Pios.
Wrapping up this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show. My name is Tyler Mon. We'll catch you next time on 104.3 The Fan HD3 and DenverPioneers.com.